It is just my joy to be here. I can't even explain.
The Bible?
No, I got it right on. We don't use the Bible at our church either. We don't pray. I'm overwhelmed with the thought of preaching in Cedar River, a place that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm associate pastor over at Country Bible Church, and my preaching opportunities are limited because the senior pastor does most of it. So last time I preached was in Africa in August. A church not much bigger than this, and it was an amazing opportunity, and I put this right alongside of that, this opportunity to come and share God's word with you here today. It is my joy to be here. So yes, we do use Bibles, and I encourage you to follow along. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 to start out. Luke chapter 2, and we'll be moving around a little bit. And if you have an electronic device, I use the ESV version to preach out of if you want to follow along in that. And I come with a question today for you. I come with a question. I ask you, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? And I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about deep down, unshakable joy that brings with it peace. Perhaps you have true joy, but it comes and it goes. So what I want to look at is, what is it that we believers have in Christ that gives us joy? And maybe then we can stop the roller coaster walks that we sometimes have with God. Well, it's all about the gospel. It is all about the gospel. It is about the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. It's about the gospel, and it is the gospel that brings us joy. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And follow along as I read, and we see the declaration of good news. This is the word of God. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I bring you good news of great joy. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you. We really, from our hearts, thank you for the birth of Jesus. And Father, as we look at the announcement of good news of great joy, I pray that your word comes alive to us, Father. That your Holy Spirit teaches us the truths we are to look at through your word, and that you conform us more to the image of your Son, and you reveal the truth of his coming to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're going to look at reasons for joy. The coming of Jesus has many reasons for joy, but we're going to look at four of them today. Let's start in this passage. And the reason that the angel declared the good news of great joy. Look back at verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people." And then here is the reason for joy. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Reason number one for joy is a Savior is born to us. A Savior is born. We have a Savior. Turn to Matthew's account of Jesus' birth in Matthew 1. And we're going to start in verse 18. What we are looking at is simple gospel truth. And we've probably all heard it before. But it is always good to hear and see it again. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. This is the word of God, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. The Greek word is Jesus. That comes from the Old Testament Hebrew word meaning Jehovah saves. Jehovah is saving, or Yahweh is saving. God is saving. God is salvation. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. And we see on bumper stickers on cars that say Jesus saves. And we see at our church we have painted rocks on the side of the hill that says Jesus saves. The reality is saying Jesus saves is like saying saving saves. Jesus is saving. It is redundant. Joseph, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The reason Jesus came is his name. So what? Does this truth bring you joy? I do not assume anything about any of you. Not an authority of the Word of God. You are in either one of two conditions. Condition one, you are an enemy of God, dead in your sins, with no hope, and without God in this world, and you are destined for hell. If this is you, then hear the good news for what it is. Good news of great joy. Jesus is for you. But you must believe. You must have faith in Christ. Oh, and if you've never put faith in Jesus and Him alone for salvation, then this, may this be the Christmas you remember for the rest of your lives when you believe and trust in Christ for the first time. May this be the Christmas you experience the great joy. Condition number two is you do have faith in Christ. All of your sins have been forgiven. All of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. You have been born again and have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Listen now, this is the good news of great joy, because you were once dead in your trespasses and sin, but now you are alive together with Christ. This is good news because you had no hope and were without God in this world, but now Christ is in you, the hope of glory. This is good news because you were headed to eternal damnation, but now you will be with God forever in heaven. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Reason number one for joy is we have a Savior. And if we were to stop here, if this was it, if there was no more to it, this would be good news, and we would have and should have great joy. There is no hell for us who are saved. We now have heaven with Jesus. But there is more. There is much, much more. Listen to Jesus in John 1:10. Listen to this. John 10, verses 7 through 11, this is the word of God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters me, he shall be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Jesus came to save his people. He is the shepherd. He is our shepherd. He came and laid down his life for us and saved us and gave us life abundantly. Have life abundantly. What does this mean to you? Does this mean more things? Does this mean more wealth and better health? Does this mean more popularity? Does this mean a full head of hair? I came that my people may have life and have it abundantly. Listen now. Joy comes from the abundant life God gives us through Jesus. And these are spiritual blessings of the life we have now in Christ. Let's continue the Christmas story in Matthew and start digging at the reason Jesus came, which will lead us to reason number two for joy. Back in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." God with us. This is another name for Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. We need to meditate on this truth, brothers and sisters. This is what Christmas is all about. God with us. Listen now. Let this truth resonate in your very being. God is with us. The creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with us. He was born and laid in a feeding trough for animals. God is with us. Jesus is born. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we'll pick up the Christmas story there. Yes, Jesus' birth is recorded in the Gospel of John, though I don't suppose many Christmas skits and programs come here very often for the material. But as most of you will know that know me, I'm not normal. God is with us. Why? To save us, yes, but why else? Remember where we are now. Reason number one for joy is we have a Savior, and we're working our way to reason number two, which is rooted in why Jesus came. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, and immediately we see the birth of Christ. John 1:14. It's the Word of God. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.'" If you know me, we could do a month of sermons in these five verses, but I promised Chad I'd keep my message to an hour. I am just kidding. This will be short and sweet. That'll be my Christmas present to you. Jesus brought grace and truth. Look back at verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, he has made him known. Keep your fingers here and turn to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll chase this down, but keep your finger here, we'll be back. 1 John is almost to the end of your Bible. 1, 2, 3, John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 John, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus has made God known. The world lives in deception and darkness and death. Jesus came in grace and truth to give us understanding. Watch for that. Let's read chapter 5. We'll start in verse 18. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 18. This is the word of God. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And watch now, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus came that we may understand. Jesus came that we may have intellect. Jesus came that we may have insight. Jesus came to give us understanding that we may know God. If you peel back all the layers of this passage, if you peel back all the truths in Scripture, if you skipped over all the truths in Scripture, don't miss this one. Jesus came that we may know God. Do you know God? Do you know truth? This passage is not saying that you may know how to play Christian. This passage is not saying that you may know how to do rituals. This passage is not saying that you may know how to dress up for church and play the part. Thus saith the Lord, my Son has come to give you understanding that you may know me. With all that I am by the grace of God, with all that is in my heart, I implore you to forget all of those other things, and I want you to know and experience God and find your joy in him. The announcement of Jesus' coming was good news of great joy because he made God knowable to us. Reason number two for joy is we know God. And I must say this here. Knowing God is more than head knowledge and lip service. We need to look at a warning passage now, and I want you to turn with me to Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. Reason number one for joy was being saved, right? If you haven't experienced reason number one, then reason number two is impossible. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to give us understanding that we may know God. Why is it important to know God? I'll answer that by saying because our eternal destiny is at stake. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. This is the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Listen now, everyone. This passage is a reality check passage and should cause all of us to pause and look deep into our hearts. Do you know God? Knowing God isn't singing songs from a hymn book. Knowing God isn't going on missions trips. Knowing God isn't doing religious activities in the name of Christ. Knowing God is being dwelled by the Holy Spirit. Knowing God is having a two-way relationship with Him. Knowing God is experiencing God. Brothers and sisters, true joy is knowing and experiencing God through Jesus. True joy is knowing and experiencing God's love for us in Christ. This is the abundant life Jesus, our shepherd, leads us to. This is great joy. Flip back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Reason number 2 for joy is that we have a Savior. Number 1 is we have a Savior. Number 2 is that we know God. Let's read the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 9 through 13, and watch for reason number 3. John 1, starting in verse 9. This is the Word of God. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The announcement of Jesus' coming was good news and great joy because he gives us the right to become children of God. Turn to Galatians 4. And I told you we didn't use Bibles, but I guess we really do. Turn to Galatians 4. And we'll look at the Christmas story in Galatians. And we're going to finish number 3 and we'll find number 4 there. Galatians is after 1 and 2 Corinthians. Remember, knowing God is a Holy Spirit empowered two-way relationship with Him. Galatians chapter 4 will reveal this clearly to us. We're going to jump in right at verse 4 and notice what type of relationship we have with God. So this is Galatians 4, chapter 4, starting in verse 4. And again, we are in the Word of God. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. If this truth has never hit you before, if this truth has never taken effect and a hold of you before, then grab a hold of it now. In Christ, we are children of the living God. And the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts crying out, Dear, dear Daddy. Jesus came that we might have life abundantly. We live and walk the face of this earth as children of the living God. Do you realize that God relates to you as a father relates to their child? Do you realize that God guides you and teaches you and instructs you as a father would his child? Do you realize that God loves you as a father loves his child? Reason number 1 for joy is that we have a Savior. Number 2 is that we know God. Number 3 is we are children of God. Watch now as we see more of the reality of relationship, which will bring us to reason number 4. Continuing on in Galatians, we're up to verse 7 now. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. And we'll stop there. To be known by God. Our relationship is two ways with God. The announcement of Jesus' coming was good news of great joy because God knows us. This is important to understand because knowing someone is one thing, right? But to be known by that person is quite another. This means relationship. It's like me saying I know President Obama because I know things about him. But if you talked to President Obama and you said, well, what about Fred? He would say, I don't know anything about Fred. I do not know him. There is no relationship. If, on the other hand, I tell you I know God because he is in me, and you talked with God, and you asked God about Fred, he would tell you, yes, Fred is my son, and I love him deeply, and he belongs to me forever. Listen now. Because of Jesus, if our faith is in him, then we are God's children, and we will live with him forever. May you know and find the great joy in the truth that God knows you as his child. Reason number one for great joy is we have a Savior. Number two is we know God. Number three is we are his children. And number four is we are known by God. Let's wrap this up and conclude by turning to Isaiah chapter 9. The book of Isaiah is about the middle of your Bibles. So turn to it in chapter 9. And we'll read the Christmas story as prophesied by Isaiah hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. This is a familiar passage probably to all of us. Isaiah 9, starting in verse 6. Read 6 and 7. This is the word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. A son is given to us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Because of Jesus, Almighty God is our everlasting Father. How do we wrap our minds around that reality? How do we wrap our hearts around that truth? But if you want the good news of great joy to be part of you, then bring these two realities together in your mind and in your hearts. And experience the love of God in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. These things are not from me. These are your truths. This is your reality. This is why Jesus came, that we may be your children and live with you forever. Having been forgiven and saved from our sins and redeemed, we are now your children. Thank you for that, Father. This truly is good news of great joy. Father, I pray for anybody here today that does not know you, that the light of your gospel and the light of your truth has never penetrated their hearts before, and you're speaking to them now, Father. May their faith be put in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, Father. May your name be glorified today through everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.